Secrets That Changed the World. Stephen Moss's new book. He's also a producer, but the author of a book that reveals to me again and again, language is important, and the word extinction is frightening. How many extinctions have there been since the creation of the Earth in the bombardment of 3.5 to 4 billion years ago? But this one, the dodo bird, turns out to be the author of the word extinction that enters into the vocabulary of the century since he was first discovered. I believe it was the 16th century when a ship called there. And the dodo no longer exists, but the word extinction is now important for those who move to save or protect or in some way worry about the habitats and the destruction of our birds. The humble dodo, I learned from you that when the Dutch first found him, they call him the wallow birds, and they regarded him as loathsome. What happened to him? Why did they go away on the Mauritius Islands suddenly, Stephen?
Well, what I hadn't realised about the dodo was that unlike other oceanic islands that were colonised by humans during the sort of age of empire, if you like, in the 16th, 17th, 18th centuries, Mauritius was not inhabited by people. So unlike America, unlike New Zealand, unlike Australia, where there were humans were there already, Mauritius was a place where the dodo lived, and it had evolved not to have to fly, because why would it have to fly if there's no enemies? And there were also no predators, no ground predators, no mammals. And unfortunately, the Dutch sailors who arrived, I think, in 1597 or 98, brought in dogs and cats and rats and actually macaque monkeys, which they kept as pets. And those birds both ate the eggs and the chicks of the dodo in the nest, but also, of course, could catch the flightless adults. Unlike your turkey, it couldn't fly away. And the dodo was extinct within about 80 years. You can never, of course, tell when the very last individual dies out. But the last reliable sighting is towards the end of the 17th century, around 1680. The concept of extinction doesn't really exist at this point, because at that point, society in the West is extremely religious, extremely Christian, and the idea that the Creator might create species and then allow them to go extinct was simply incomprehensible to people. And it actually took another 50 to 100 years during the Enlightenment for people to argue that some creatures had indeed gone extinct. So it's great irony that the dodo, no one who knew the dodo alive would ever have understood the idea of extinction, and yet it has become the most famous extinct creature of all time.
George Clark, 1865, a teacher on the Mauritius Islands, discovers bones in a swamp, and that led to, in some way, to reconstruct a dodo bird whom you thought, or it, that you thought you met when you went to a museum with your mom. What did you actually meet, Stephen?
Well, this was the late 1960s. I would have been 7 or 8 years old. My mother, she was a single parent, and I was the only child, and she would take a week off work every summer, and we would go up to London. And the only place I remember going was the Natural History Museum in Kensington, which is still a wonderful place to go. And there was a big selection of stuffed birds there, and I was fascinated by birds, so I would stand by them for hours. And one of them was a stuffed dodo, and I remember standing in front of it. Dodos are quite big. They're sort of probably about 3 feet tall. You know, this was a large and slightly terrifying-looking bird. And it was only many, many years later that I discovered that this wasn't a dodo at all. It was a model of a dodo, made with chicken feathers and wire and, you know, a sort of ceramic bill and plastic eyes, you know. This is not a real dodo, simply because no one thought this bird could go extinct. They never kept the few they had in museums. They just sort of rotted away. And they always thought, the museum owners in Britain and America thought, well, we can always go and get another one. But they didn't, because by then it was extinct. So, you know, there are very few examples of, you know, and that one wasn't an example of a real stuffed dodo. I mean, it's still there. I went a year ago and saw it. So, yeah, you know, this is a, a strange story of this bird that has become the icon of extinction. I think it was Will Cuppy, the American humorist, said it seems to have been invented for the sole purpose of going extinct, which is a very funny line. But
it becomes the emblem of extinction, and there have been successes. You report Professor Carl Jones with the pink pigeon and the Mauritius kestrel, especially the kestrel. He saved it. He saved it. The dodo could have been saved if we'd had Carl Jones on the scene.
That's right. Probably if the dodo had lived perhaps, you know, maybe, I don't know, it's hard to tell, another 100 years. Same's true, of course, of the great auk, of the passenger pigeon, of the Carolina parakeet, these birds that have gone extinct much more recently in our lifetime. Ivory-billed woodpecker has gone extinct in my lifetime, the others earlier than that. But yes, Carl Jones is a Welsh scientist, an extraordinary man, who went out to Mauritius, and by then there were several other species, like, as you say, the Mauritius kestrel, very similar to the American kestrel, the European kestrel, a small, elegant falcon. And I think, though, it was down to a handful, I think maybe 10 or 12 individuals, and he took them into captivity and bred them, made sure the habitat was okay for them, made sure they weren't going to be persecuted, and eventually released those back into the wild.
He used double clutching, I have from your report. What is double clutching?
That's right. Double clutching is basically you take a bird from the wild, you let it lay eggs, and you take the eggs away. And when you do that, a female bird has the instinct to lay another two or three eggs, or whatever her clutch is. So that meant they had twice as many eggs. Then, of course, you can incubate eggs in incubators. You don't need a bird to sit on them. So he used all sorts of science. And you have to remember, this is in the 1970s. Other scientists were appalled at this. They said, you know, you're wasting your time, you're wasting money, you're giving hope. That's all wrong. You know, these birds are doomed. And to be fair, they had a point. A bird that's down to a dozen individuals, it looks like it's doomed. It's happened to so many. But he wouldn't listen, and thank goodness he wouldn't, because he brought back a number of species to Mauritius. And, of course, we have that opportunity now. We have so many birds, particularly in the Americas and in Asia and Africa, that are on the edge of extinction. And we really need an awful lot of Carl Joneses to bring them back.
We have a moment here, 1 minute, Stephen, to say that lessons learned, the non-native brown rats have been removed to save the Lundy seabirds. These are islands in the Atlantic. And the British Overseas Territory are working to save island birds and make them predator-free by 2050.
That's right.
And that is a success of the humble dodo bird.
Yeah, I think the dodo has inspired us. So, yes, it went extinct, but its fate has inspired scientists to try to save other species, and let's hope they can.
The book is 10 Birds That Changed the World. We're going into myth next when we continue. The Raven, and you know immediately I'm thinking of Edgar Allan Poe, so are you. This is CBS Eye on the World with Stephen Moss. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.